The day could have been in June or January. I don't remember. The year was 1985, or maybe it was 86 or 87. I don't remember. But I do remember what happened on that day. My father had driven down to see me at college. He came alone, which was unusual. My mom stayed back at home. He was trying to tell me something, but he couldn't quite get it out. And so he just rambled about projects he was working on at the house and things that were going on at his church. He was saying something to me about trying to drive over a bridge that he had crossed many times but couldn't. And then he told me about his father and the war. I didn't know what he was trying to get at. And then finally, he told me how hurt he was that we had been fighting. Actually, we had been fighting for years throughout all of my teenage years. And so to me, at least, this had become our normal way of relating. At that time, I was so self-absorbed in my own life. It never even occurred to me that my father could be hurt by this or by anything. And then he said it. He told me that he loved me. He came 300 miles to tell me for the first time in my life that he loved me. Maybe you are fortunate enough to always have been able to tell your children that you love them. And maybe you're fortunate enough to have had a father who has always told you that he loved you. But for me and my dad, this was a revelation. For me and my dad, it was a revolution of our hearts over our stubborn wills. You know, my father grew up in a time and in a culture when men didn't say the L word, or in his case, the S word in Korean, sarang. But something shifted for him, as it did with lots of men who grew up in one era and then raise children in another era and are beginning to witness the next unfolding as they watch their sons become fathers. A revolution of fatherhood. I think a revolution of fatherhood has been going along, chugging along in fits and starts, one step forward, couple of steps back, for maybe 50, 60 years. Expectant fathers don't have to wait in smoky waiting rooms anymore with old, old copies of Field and Stream magazine. And the number of stay-at-home fathers has increased threefold in the last 10 years. And the sight of dad and baby in a playground doesn't spark people to turn around in shock anymore. Well, maybe still in Kidsburg. These days, fathers are more involved with their kids. They're nurturing, they're giving their time and attention more than ever before. I have a feeling that you younger fathers would say that you're glad to be fathering in this time, in this generation, in this time of history, because you don't have to mold yourself to any particular model of fatherhood. You don't have to take on the model of fatherhood that you have been given by your fathers. That used to be a pretty narrow definition of fatherhood, didn't it? A narrow definition of fatherhood has caused many men to live out of just a portion of their lives. Bill Doherty is a family therapist and an author who observed that most men, he says, operate out of just one-third of their being. Just one-third of their being. He says they have inherited a minimal definition of what it means to be a good father and thus a good man, one that focuses solely on breadwinning. Now, I've heard lots of dads joke about the fact that they're nothing but walking ATMs. Have you heard that too? Underneath that chuckle is a painful truth. As much progress as we have made in the revolution, that narrow definition of fatherhood and masculinity, so tangled up with career and money-making, is still with us and is stubbornly embedded in our social systems and our institutions. You know, it took me a long time to understand that I had completely bought into the male stereotype created by our culture. I had confused biology with culture. And so when I would read those statistics about the fact that suicide rates for males, for example, are 4 times higher than for women, or that males comprise 93% of the prison population, or that more boys have learning disabilities and are falling behind in schools, or that men have a shorter lifespan, I just said to myself, well, you know, what do you expect? That's just the way it is, right? It's just nature. Men are inherently, naturally more aggressive and competitive. Men are inherently drawn to more material things rather than spiritual lives. Men just can't express themselves emotionally. Now, if you had made those broad general characterizations of Korean people or women, there would be some problems here. You know, maybe men are just an easy target for stereotypes because we together, all of us together, have created an image of men that says, well, they can handle it. They don't hurt. They don't feel. They can take it. They're tough. But they are hurt. And we are all hurt by the way male stereotypes keep men from bringing forth all of their parts, all of the parts of their being, especially those parts that don't conform to the warped image of masculinity that keep everything in place. We are hurt by the domination of male stereotypes in our culture, and they skew our values. They skew our values toward heterosexism and narrow gender definitions. They skew our values toward combat over cooperation, toward individualism rather than community, materialism over spirituality, rational intelligence over emotional intelligence. And that's why the revolution must go on. The revolution of fatherhood and the revolution of manhood must go on. The revolution of fatherhood has broadened the possibilities for men. They don't have to be breadwinners. They don't have to be the breadwinners anymore. They are free to be any kind of father they want to be. But liberation isn't always comfortable, is it? Liberation isn't always comfortable. Just because you're free doesn't mean that it's easy to step out into those new possibilities. It may mean that you are the first man ever in your family to turn your back on a career in order to stay home with your children. It may mean that you have to cut back your hours at work and that your spouse now earns more money than you do. And that's where your spiritual community comes in to support you and to cheer you on, to celebrate your choices of fatherhood with you, to encourage you in your spiritual growth. Because ultimately, that's what your children need. Ultimately, that's what the women of the world need. Ultimately, that's what the entire world needs, is for you to come alive. We need you to be your absolutely, fully unfolded, amazing self. No holding back. So I want to leave you with this one final story that I heard from a UU man in Ohio. He says, I remember being in my 30s and having discovered that being hugged or getting hugs by men felt pretty okay at first, and then not so bad, and then finally really incredible once that trust was built. To be held in care by another man while crying about the hurts I had endured is one of the most liberating experiences I've ever had. A year before my dad's death, which was not expected and very sudden, I decided to share my new hugging skills with him. So I walked into his house one day, and when he least expected it, I threw my arms around him and gave him a kiss on the cheek. And he turned around quickly, saying, "What the hell is wrong with you?" I think you're getting a little light in the loafers, and maybe you're hanging out at that Unitarian church a little too much. Well, I listened patiently while he discharged, and he looked at me like he wanted me to just go away, but he underestimated me. So I stopped in 2-3 times a week and continued my ploy. First, I would hug him, and then I would say, "Oh, I just came over here to hear you complain." The first few times, he acted like he was really disgusted and didn't want anything to do with it. But Mom told me later that when he heard the car pull up into the driveway, he would leap up and start for the door, saying, "Here he comes again. I guess he needs another hug." My father never told me that he loved me in words. He couldn't, because no man had ever done that for him. But his hugs got softer and longer, and occasionally his eyes would meet mine. That would say it for me. When he died a few months later, I knew that I had connected with him in a very profound way. On this Father's Day, may all fathers who long to say "I love you" to their children find his way. May those men who are lonely and hurt be consoled by love's embrace. And may those who have been hurt by their fathers and the men in their lives find a way to healing and health. And may we all open our hearts to the abundance of love that is around us always.